The Napoleonic era, Napoleon in exile, 1815 to 1821, the death of Napoleon. Actually, this show is an overview to the death of Napoleon. Now, I'm going to break this up into different segments. We're not just going to knock him off, get rid of him, and move on. The interplay and everything at the end is quite significant to some of the discussions that still go on today, such as what he died of and those sort of things. And this is part of my master's thesis that I worked on, which is really on the reburial of him later on in 1840. But here's what I'm going to do. It's, first of all, next week, I will give you a general description of the decline and death of Napoleon from January of 1821 to his actual death on May the 5th, 1821. And we'll look at the doctors and other things. You know, you have Dr. Arnault, who believed right up almost to the end that it was all made up, that he was a hypochondriac. So we'll do that one. That's relatively, well, it won't be quick, but it will be somewhat detail short, all right? Then the next show will be a detailed account of Napoleon's last days, from April the 20th until his death in the evening of May the 5th. That will have a lot more interplay between the characters, between Napoleon, Napoleon talking to his priest, a whole variety of things that are going to go on. And it's a lot more specific. It's also going to be a little ugly, to say the least, because of the descriptions of some of the things that go on. Following week, we'll be looking at the autopsy, what they found, what they looked for, what were they going to do with all of the with the heart, with the different organs, and all of that. Then the next section will be the preparation for burial, preparing the body to be buried. You have to pick the clothes out. There is a whole host of visitors that came to see him while he was still at Longwood. There'll be a discussion a little bit here of the coffins and of other things, such as what do you do with Napoleon's sword? Because there was a concern that Hudson Lowe might actually take Napoleon's sword for himself. So initially it was hidden, and they used General Bertrand's sword until they were ready to maneuver to his grave. Then that will include a discussion about the procession to the grave. In other words, the funeral procession, the prayers for the dead, and moving him to that area. That is well orchestrated by Sir Hudson Lowe. Want to make it look good. It's quite a show. Then there'll be a section where we talk about the burial. This is where I will talk about the different coffins. One of the reasons they have multiple coffins is because the body was not actually embalmed. They put it in multiple coffins to protect it. They actually weren't embalming material on the island at the time. And then I'll talk about the grave. Now, this is one of the first articles that I wrote when I was just out of college for a magazine that eventually became Military History Magazine. But it was a mimeographed pamphlet that was produced. And so I'll talk about the depth and why they did it and all of these other different things. So there'll be a section on the grave. Then we'll head into setting everybody free. In other words, the abandonment of St. Helena and Longwood by the French, and they're returning home. And there's a whole process that we'll be looking at. And then at the end, at that point, you're going, well, wait a minute, when are we going to talk about what did he die of? Well, that'll be done last, because that's going to be somewhat extensive. So in the process of talking about what he died of, we'll talk about his terrible doctors, which certainly exacerbated the problems that he was having and probably pushed him over the edge faster. A discussion of whether he had a cirrhosis ulcer or that he had cancer. We know from his father's death from that, from the cirrhosis ulcer, which was probably cancerous. Now, that was diagnosed by the Montpellier Medical Group, which was a superb set of doctors in medical school, and they believed that it was an illness that was hereditary. And this is something that Napoleon worried about all his life. He took all kinds of stomach medications to try to forestall this. If you know, so you also have self-fulfilling prophecy with the nervousness and what have you. But it's an interesting set of materials that we'll talk about. Talk about just regular liver disease because Dr. O'Meara had diagnosed him as having hepatitis. Question is, was it hepatitis or was it amoebic hepatitis, which is somewhat found on the island? So there'll be some medical material we'll talk about in here. I've got lots of different sources. Actually, I have too many different sources, so they'll be kind of mixed together, so to speak. And then you're going, okay, well, what about was he poisoned? Well, I'm going to save that for last. I'm going to talk about the arsenic issue then at that point at the end when we're finished with all of this material prior to that point. Talk about the famous hair sample that was diagnosed as having tremendous amount of arsenic, but we also forget that arsenic is a very common chemical used in all sorts of medicines, but particularly stomach medication. There was always this theory that I think it's Zachary Taylor, President of the United States, that he may have been poisoned, and they had exhumed the body and found that he had lots of arsenic, but he'd taken all kinds of medications at that particular time period, and it wasn't unusual. And the one thing about arsenic is, if you take it in small quantities over long periods of time, you become immune to it. It's easy to get immune to it. And we do have hair samples throughout his entire life that have been authenticated. And so you can see rises and falls in the arsenic sample. So we'll talk about arsenic pretty significantly through there. We've already talked about the theory that he did not escape the island. That's just something that did not happen. So he does die there. Now, it's something that you're never really going to solve. This is going to be one of those situations where, depending on where you fall in the line of history, you're going to pick one of these groups as to what killed him. Some people want to knock him off. Some people want to blame Montholon for not wanting to stay because his wife had left and he wanted to go and stay with her, and other assorted things that come in. So we'll talk about the arsenic. And at that point, we'll lay him to rest for 19 years. And then ultimately, we'll have to come back to St. Helena in 1840 to dig him up and bring him back to France for the return de cendres, the return of the ashes, the burial of Napoleon at the Invalides. And this moment is the time where the Bonaparte political factions rise up, and we'll ultimately get the 1848 revolution, which will lead to Louis Napoleon Bonaparte taking over, being elected president, and then he'll become Napoleon III. So there's a lot of political stuff that will come in. Now, once we've finished with this business of the death, I will go back to France, and we'll look at France from the moment of his exile to St. Helena until 1840. So we'll be going through French history, European history, through this intermediate period after the death of Napoleon to see what was going on in France, and then what was going on in Europe, and then ultimately when the British felt safe in 1840 to say, hey, France, you can have Napoleon back. So, and it's a little odd. I mean, I've studied Napoleon for so long, this is almost like burying a friend, so to speak. I've studied and worked on this for so many years. So I'm going to be using, like I said, different sources. I'm going to use the same ones we've been using, but I'll be moving to a couple of other ones, St. Helena Story by Brooks and some other people. And I will probably also do a reading of his will. Most people never read it, and a lot of people make the assumption that the will was just a political document, which it very well was, but that nobody ever really received any of the money because he didn't have any money. But that's not true. There was plenty of francs in bank accounts for him that were well kept and taken care of. And so most of the bequests within that document are indeed paid out. So we'll be looking at that, doing all of those different things in the next few weeks. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.